Hi, this is Favi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch,
the podcast where we talk about important things like
Mi pala show butla a la carne.
Hello, hello, hello.
Que show.
How's it going, Babs?
Pues aquí, living the new era of this country, not just, you know, dealing with the beginning of the semester. How about you?
Good. Well, you know, it eerily feels like nothing's changed, you know, even though the country is so full of hope now that Lady Gaga sang the national anthem.
No mames, güey.
Did you see that J-Lo also sang yesterday?
Of course. She's part of the empire, girl. What do you expect?
She said, I'm Mr. 305 worldwide, international. Oh, my gosh. And all these white people gasped. But that was badass of J-Lo, you know, our Latinx representative. Our Afro Latina representative to speak Spanish, you know.
I know.
And then quote a song of hers that nobody cares about. She's like, let's get loud. I'm like, I don't think they knew that was a reference to your music.
Sorry, J-Lo, but that was like 20 years ago. No, I didn't engage. I want to engage because I saw that they give a tour of some of the paintings, like live in television. And there's like a lot of landscape paintings. There's some curator of the White House is talking about. So like, I really want to look into that.
I watched the whole thing. It was cute. But they're like, this is where a white person painted this based on other white artists that uphold white supremacy. Here's where the artist died halfway through, and then another artist started painting more white people.
Bitch, yeah. There's nothing like the Capitol collection of art, which is all tied to, yes, white supremacy, but also expansion. So there's all these paintings and references to Christopher Columbus and Manifest Destiny. It's so gross. So I want to see that develop in live television. So I'm sure it's going to be on YouTube or something. So I definitely will see it.
To be positive, you know.
No!
Even though you don't engage. No. I know that's not your thing. I did get very emotional, you know, Kamala Harris, first black Asian woman vice president. Like, that was really special. That was really, I did get a little emotional when Justice Jota Mayor, when she swore her in. That was really cool. And then also shout out to, I think her name is Amanda Gorman, the youth poet laureate. Gave an amazing, recited an amazing piece. And then, of course, J-Lo, our chameleon, representing all of us.
Alleluia.
The entire country. She is every woman.
Amen.
And, and then also, I had no idea. I didn't used to give a shit about the inauguration and all this pomp and circumstance bullshit, but for some reason, I just wanted visually to see the shift in power, you know?
Yeah.
And I knew that they do all these dumb rituals after they swear them in, you know? And it was actually, for me, it was actually nice to see like the rituals of the changing of the guard, you know? Just to let it go. I'm just saying. I know it's bullshit and it's supposed to be visually
colonial,
but to see like the military, you know how they do this thing where the vice president stands on the steps of the White House, of the Capitol, the east or the west side, I don't remember what side, I think it was the west side, but and then the military marches and salutes the vice president, but the band, and they play music for them. I thought that was amazing. Like them, you know, to this black woman. It was very special to see that, you know.
But see, like, that's how I felt. I remember when Obama step out to accept the fact that he won the election. There was like a huge rally in Chicago. And I remember seeing Obama with his family, like a visually like black family in this rally. I remember I cried, but it was all, but also Obama, I mean, I didn't know back then, an extension of the Clintons. So for me, so hard to even get emotional or excited about those things, because that's all I'm thinking is like, this is a continuation of a Clinton administration, you know?
Yes. But I will say, I was very surprised that Biden, in his speech, said the word white supremacy several times. And he also acknowledged that there were several mentions by many of speakers that the acts on the Capitol the week prior were terrorist attacks. You know what I mean?
That's good.
And it's like, and it's because there it was white people speaking that they could say those words. You know what I'm saying? Because Obama could never say that.
Right. Without,
he would have been murdered. He would have been murked on the spot, like on the podium, if he would have said the words white supremacy.
Yeah,
you know what
like,
I mean?
Like being black was already too much for white people to stand.
Yeah.
So imagine him saying shit like that. Forget it.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Also, okay. So there's all these little rituals that they do that I didn't know about. But like, okay, so after they get sworn in, the president does a speech. Okay, then everybody leaves. Then they do like a ceremonial, like the old president and the new president walk down the steps of the Capitol together. But Trump's
a little bitch,
a little fucking sore loser bitch that didn't show up. So it was just Mike Pence and Kamala that walked down the steps, and then they go to the Capitol and take like a tour, and people dedicate certain things. Like a photograph of the inauguration and all this stuff. But one of the dedications is they get to pick a new painting to hang in the Capitol building from one of the Smithsonians.
Uh-huh.
And they pick this picture by a black artist from like the 1800s that painted a scene, like a landscape painting with the rainbow in it. And so, you know, it was like little nice things like that. They're like really showing out, you know? And... It was something positive that I didn't expect. I guess that's why I'm talking about it. I was like, I'm going to turn this shit on. We'll see. I don't really want to watch it, but it ended up being a good thing. Even though I've been avoiding watching the news and everything that's going on because it's all bullshit. But like, you know, just to have a president now that can string two sentences together, it was like
what a concept.
It was just such a huge sense of relief. I'm like, oh my God, he's saying full sentences. I think I can relax today. I'm like, I'm going to go have a bowel movement. My God. Thank God. I'm so relaxed. Speaking of, have you been eating anything good lately?
¿Qué comimos? Porque mis papás nos visitaron. Uh-huh. No, anything exciting because I'm in, once again, in transition because I'm going to be in New Mexico.
Wait, so where are you now?
I am right now in California. I'm here for a little bit before I make the drive to New Mexico, and then I'm going to be in New Mexico for a while.
When are you moving to New Mexico?
At the middle of February.
And for how long? Where? What city?
So I'm going to be in Santa Fe. Voy a estar ahí con los Santa Feos.
Girl, you and Julia Roberts, R.R.
Yes,
Martin.
Yes, my Juan Gabriel fantasy. Santa Fe, Santa Fe, Santa Fe. Have you heard that song, Juan Gabriel? ¿A dónde? A Santa Fe, Santa Fe, Santa Fe. But it's cool.
Where he would go get all his turquoise, honey.
Yes.
turquoise.
Pero es que Albuquerque está bien caro, man. The Airbnbs. I think it's because there's new, like, Facebook offices right outside of Albuquerque.
Oh,
and, like,
yeah.
We couldn't find anything. And I guess we, you know, like, everybody's doing what we're doing, just taking advantage of being online and just moving to sunny places. So... in the beginning, when we started moving to Joshua Tree, everything was cheap, and now everything's so expensive. So Santa Fe, believe it or not, was the cheapest. I even look in Canada. I'm like, fuck it. I just, you know, like, I'm going to look somewhere else.
Girl, sunny. Oh, I guess it's summertime. It's you're going right now. It's gonna start to thaw out in February a little bit.
Yeah, I mean it's global warming, but I don't know. Like Chicago.
Yeah, thank God for global warming. I can go visit Canada. It's a nice, nice temperature now.
So all of that to say is that it just leftovers like los tamales que quedaron. You know this new thing? Mi cuñado hace charcuterie boards, and he sells them.
Come on, charcuterie.
Yes, chuchuchis.
Your in-laws, all your in-law family, they're on it, dude. They're like on all the trends.
The whole I was gonna say the patrimony. Cuando empezó todo el pedo del corona, you know, like. People got to hustle. So between sourdough bread and charcuterie boards, and it's still a little bit of a business. And they're like small. They're like small, $20. So we started helping him put him together. And now like my husband is so good. So we found this store in Joshua Tree. We made this huge ass charcuterie board for my family. Bitch. Oh, okay. I have something very personal that I have to say.
Okay, I'm ready.
Oh, fuck. Okay, I don't want to cry. Okay. I completely forgot, but you just remind me.
What?
So, on the weekend, we got together with my family, and we bought a bottle of mezcal and a bottle of Sotol, Flor del Desierto, de Besotol,
girl,
in Mexico.
This is going to be messy. This is going to be messy.
So,
girl,
you know.
Anytime I drink Flor del Desierto, you know.
Hijo del
I become one with el desierto, okay?
You know, I'm so proud of Yaremi. She put together her shed, and she has now the best sotol in all of fucking Latin America. Anyway.
Okay. Yeah, what happened? What happened?
So we started drinking, and it was like, ha, 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 he, he, he. Okay, let's play Rumi Cube. Ha, 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 he, he, he. And then the conversation started getting darker and darker and darker. And I was, andaba pedo, pero no andaba así de que, agárrenme, por favor, or, you know, like I was an araña fumigada. So I was just like, sort of like Switzerlanding everything. Like, ay, para que se pelean, para que tanto pedo, Hakuna Matata, agárrense las manos, ¿cuál es el problema? And then my dad, out of nowhere, he started talking about when I came out of the closet and how traumatic the whole thing was for him. And in my mind, I thought everything had passed because we talked about this in the podcast. But I remember thinking when I came out, whatever happens, I forgive my parents because it's not their fault. It's a cultural thing. It's like very, like I remember saying that to my 11-year-old kid self, saying, you know, like when you come out of the closet, it ain't gonna be pretty, but it's okay. You gotta do what you gotta do. So I'm not going to go into details of what happened when I came out, but it wasn't pretty, right?
Right.
So apparently I did talk a little bit more about it in the podcast, and I do not remember. And my dad had things to say. I said...
He heard what you said on the podcast?
He did. I think it was the Juan Gabriel episode. And he said, tú me hiciste quedar mal a mí, and you said this on the podcast. And I was, again, shooketh because I thought things have passed and everything had patched. Because, you know, here, there we were with, like, the bottle of Sotol basically was drunk by my dad and my husband. Like, I'm there sitting with my husband talking about this stuff. So
yeah.
I got their support. They were there to help me organize everything. So, like, in my mind, everything had passed. But the trauma of the moment extended by the... continued, you know? So I had to apologize. I said, I thought we were past this. I apologize. I did not want it to make you seem like the bad person in the whole entire thing. And it was really difficult because, yes, of course, I'm over it. And yes, I'm so fucking thankful of what a wonderful, supportive family I am. But of course, at the end of the day, as part of like a gay Latino man, that's always going to be something that I'm going to carry, even though I don't blame anybody or anything, you know? And the circumstances were just like, it is what it is, right? It is what it is. So when he said that, my first thing is like, next time I record, I need to say publicly, Dad, I'm sorry. Like, I love you. you've been nothing but supportive to me. And what happened just happened, you know, and it's nobody's fault. We all made mistakes, including myself. And I'm just so, so happy that we can talk about it, even if it is we have to get shit-faced with regional liquors. But it is what it is. So just that's all. Like, so if you're listening to this, papá, los amo muchísimo. And that's the end of that. That's it. So I've been eating sotol. What about you?
Well, let me tell you what I've been eating.
Ay, cabrón.
What the fuck am I supposed to talk about after that? You just cried at your dad? What the fuck?
Go ahead.
I'm good. You know what I've been doing? I've been eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, you know? So,
amen.
And dad, if you're listening, if you're out there, let me know. Let me know, please.
Okay. So why don't we take a little break and we'll come back and we'll read some listener letters because there's some good ones this week.
All right. Babs, you know I don't want to go outside right now. And you know I don't like waiting rooms. I don't want to be in a room with a bunch of people anyhow. And if you're talking about your sexual health, you know where to go.
I do know. I know that Planned Parenthood got me covered. I mean, we have to worry about La Corona. We have to worry about La Civil War, La White Supremacy. So it's so nice and comfortable to know that at least we can relax and rely on Planned Parenthood as a leader in using new technologies to provide high-quality healthcare in ways that fit your life.
Through Planned Parenthood's virtual appointments, you can get high-quality, affordable care your way by phone or video. Trusted providers will listen, give information, and support you in all of your healthcare decisions.
Planned Parenthood's telehealth appointments are high-quality, affordable, and private, just like in-person visits. Whether you need help with birth control, a prescription refill, or other sexual or reproductive care services, skip the waiting room and get the care you need when you need it.
Planned Parenthood takes the stress out of healthcare and is ready when you are. Check out PlannedParenthood.org/lunch to learn more and book a virtual appointment. That's PlannedParenthood.org/lunch.
One more time, that's PlannedParenthood.org/lunch.
OMG Babalito, you know we could not do this show without our Patreon familia. And there's been a lot of people supporting us. And this is the moment where we're going to give our amigas and our comadres a shout out. Are you ready?
Yes, and thank you, everybody. We've been putting some content over there. If you are a Patreon supporter, you got to listen to all the Selena episodes. So thank you, thank you, thank you, everybody. And let's start with FVG. Thank you to you.
Thank you, Maggie OM.
Thank you, Ezequiel RS.
April.
Malcriada.
Hank.
Rachel.
Isai L.
Janelle G. Shout out.
Diana.
Carmen R. Shout out to you.
Azucena L.
Carla L. T.
Armando M.
Vivian O.
Erika J.
Celeste H.
Mary J.
And Christian Horton. Thank you to all of our amigas for your support. And now it's time for the comadres. And let's start with Kata P. Kata, thank you so much.
Guess what, Mimi R? Thank you.
Danielle R, shout out.
Maria J, thank you.
Diana G.
Abigail N.
Angelica, muchas gracias.
Aurora L.
Lizahira S. Oh, I love that name. Lizahira S, shout out to you.
Juan D. T.
Ivana E.
Maria F.
Adriana Sh.
Elizabeth G.
Tanya DR, shout out to you.
Rosa P.
Fostastic F.
Ada V, thank you so much.
Alejandra M.
Isis S.
Oh, I can't wait to see you. Alma A.
Daisy M, gracias.
Juliana R.
Gabi L.
Christian R, shout out to you.
Jonah S. Or Jona S.
Pensé que dijiste Arjona. Cody B, shout out.
Alan M.
Veronica C, gracias.
Deborah R.
Brittany D.
Robert L.
Jake N.
Martha AJ.
Sochi S, shout out all the way to Austin.
Angelica N, we love you.
And finally, for now, Esteban C. Muchísimas gracias, comadres. Muchísimas gracias, madrina y madrina. Muchísimas gracias, amigas. And at the end of the show, before the end of the show, we'll come back to give the rest of the shout-outs to our comadres.
Okay. That's latinosulunch.com/Patreon. Let's get to these damn letters. And we're back. Okay, please send your emails to asklwlpod@gmail.com and feel free to send your voice memos to, oh my God. Excuse me. Sorry, I got high before this, so I'm a little foggy right now. Here we go. I can, hold on, let me just be present. Feel free to send your voice memos. You can call us at 512-333-0471 or just email us, drop us a memo in the email. Okay, and we're going to start off with a letter from G. Babs, you want to take it away?
Take it away. Vámonos.
Vámonos.
Okay, hey, Fabi, Fabi, and Babilito. Here's my question, and this comes from G. On the dating apps, I get a lot of more black men liking me than any other demographic. It definitely feels weird when they consistently ask, especially early in the conversation, where are you from? I obviously know what they're asking, but I usually just go around it by saying I'm Latina or I'm LA with Latino heritage. It makes me really uncomfortable when they press the issue and ask, but like from where exactly? I feel like they are trying to put me in a box of stereotypes or fulfill a fetish, but I'm conflicted because they are also marginalized POC. So I want to give them the benefit of the doubt that they are not just interested in me. They expect me to be Sofia Vergara Latina caricature. But maybe I'm just projecting my own trauma because my mom always asks, where is your friend from? When I talk about people in my life, and I know my problematic mom is putting people in a box when she asks that question. Tell me what you think, please. Love your show, G.
Ay, Dios mío. Oh, my gato. Well, you know, I was just talking. Oh, shout out to our comadre. Oh my God, I swear I can talk. I'm coming back.
You can do it, girl. You can do it. You're doing good. You're doing good.
You know,
te queremos, Fabi. Te queremos.
I just need some space, man. I just need some space. I can't breathe. Okay. So back up. Oh my gosh, I'm here. Okay. You know when you get an edible and you get a second wave sometimes?
Yeah, que de repente te pega de la nada y dices, ay, hijo de su madre. Parece que te entra por el uyuyuy. I know what you're talking about.
Okay, so shout out to our comadre, Luis. He teaches political science over at Johns Hopkins University. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to one of his classes and we were talking about like race in politics and in America, and we started talking about the casta system and how it still exists today. And I was thinking about the way that these systems are reinforced, even though it's not as blatant as it was back in the day, you know. And I was just thinking of like lotería, you know, as a way that the cat, you know, the visuals of the caste system like still exist, mm-hmm. like in popular culture.
Right.
So I was talking about lotería, and then I was thinking, and I'm like, oh, and like Tinder, like Grindr, like these dating apps.
It's all like race profiling in those apps.
And then if like you really want to get into it, like if whenever you look up porn, right? Like that's just all caste shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, all right, there we have it. Interracial mestizo porn, okay. Salta para atrás porn, got it, okay.
Tente en el aire, güey.
No. Tente en el aire, okay. So, stepdad, oh, no. I'm pretty sure that's a caste category, stepdad. It's so toxic. And I mean, gays talk about it all the time on Grindr, you know, no fats, no femmes, no Asians, you know?
Yeah, that's cool.
But straight people are worse. So like, if we're bad, imagine the straights. So I can't imagine being a Latina, especially if you're a bigger person, if you're not, you know, traditionally or thin or whatever, you get fetishized even more, you know. And I have to say, like, a lot of this is reinforced by the media, by shows like Modern Family with characters like Sofia Vergara, because people see that and they expect Latinas to act in that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, by Tomas de Poder, by the changing of government ceremonies, like. It's everywhere.
So what is the question? What is she asking?
That she overwhelmingly gets black guys in her Tinder, and they're always like, oh, like, but where exactly are you from, you know? And she gets uncomfortable, avoids the question, or just says that she's Latina, but she wants to give them the benefit of the doubt because they're all, it comes also from POC group. But that's the thing. Like, we always think that, yes, color is a signifier for people, for a lot of people to discriminate against you or to stereotype you. But that doesn't mean that we have not been co-opted and we have not basically adapted to the fucking laws of the empire. That doesn't mean that we don't do the same to other people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, yes, I see the sentiment of trying to give the benefit of the doubt. But also, that doesn't mean that they're exemptos, you know, de cometer esos errores. So it happens. My problem is that I don't necessarily need to know that you could have just said, like, I get POC, you know, instead of like, I get black men. So I don't know. I feel like we all play this political, like, I am better than you game in one way or another. And you're absolutely right, Fabi. I see it all over, like, social media. It's everywhere, and it's almost impossible to escape it. But that doesn't mean that there's no ethical ways to approach some of these ideas, you know. So it's very complicated. But I do want to say that the fact that we're brown, the fact that we're black, the fact with people of color doesn't, you know, like, it's not an exemption of the rule. It's speaking of a new fucking cabinet, speaking of new presidency. They keep talking about how it is the most diverse group, like, cabinet in history. Bitch, doesn't mean anything if we're going to get somebody that is going to reinforce the same politics that have been oppressing us for the past 300 years. It can, as you say, like, it can be gay people, it can be black people, it can be brown people. Yes, it looks diverse, and it's important to have that diversity, but at the end of the day, if they don't actually do something good for the community, it doesn't mean nothing. So I don't know, it's complicated.
Yeah, I mean, white people aren't the only ones that fetishize different people, you know. So
exactly.
It's hard out there. It's hard in the dating world, especially now in COVIDina times. So
COVID what,
man? COVIDina, I don't know. So yeah, good luck out there, G. I don't know. I don't think we gave you advice. We just said.
I don't think we did.
I think we're just affirming your statements.
Yes, and, affirming your fears, anxiety.
We hear you. Your feelings are valid, and men are trash.
Te queremos, absolutely. G. Te queremos. Okay.
Te queremos. Okay.
Te toca.
This one is a doozy, guys. Get ready, okay? This is from C, and the category is growing alt-right Latino base. Now, keep in mind, we got this email probably months ago, so the timing on this is a little behind, but I think it's still relevant.
It's still,
you know,
appropriate, yeah.
Yeah. here we go. C says, I can't believe I have to write this, but I thought I'd bring attention to something that has personally affected me and I fear is growing in size and popularity. I recently found out my boyfriend is a supporter of QAnon, which I initially thought was, there should have been a comma right there, run-of-the-mill conspiracy theory, and didn't think much of it. However, it's growing alt-right conspiracy campaign that positions Donald Trump as a world savior from corruption and the Democrats / Hollywood elites that partake in satanic child trafficking practices. I really wish I was making this up. I know you're not, because it's true. No, I'm just kidding. I added that. Oh, man, I want pizza now. Anyway, more context. He's a first-generation Mexican-American and went to school in Mexico until he was 16 and then finished high school in the U.S. I'm a third-generation white Mexican and completed my bachelor's in chemistry. He seems to believe I've been indoctrinated by the radical left in school, and that's why I can't see the truth. It's even worse because he was undocumented. Oh, because he has undocumented family members that I know are at higher risk under another term of the Trump administration. He seems to believe the reason Mexico has so many socioeconomic problems is because the government was too weak in the past, and Trump is protecting America from the same fate. I guess my question is, is this a lost cause? Should I try and reason with someone who has fallen under a cult-like mentality to prevent this message from spreading? Reading more about the recent demonstrations under the guise of hashtag Save the Children, I saw there was a considerable Latino presence. Have you had to deal with anyone in the community going this far right? The far right is not and hasn't been just rednecks living in the South. Its propaganda has a much farther reach.
Yep.
We live in a metro area, are in our 20s, and I know at least a few of his friends have fallen in without realizing it for what it is. Nazi shit. That's in parentheses. Just looking for advice in the realm of mass misinformation and when it's okay to walk away. All my best from a longtime listener, C. Can I just tell you right now, C? Run, Correle. Bitch. Break run! Up with him. If you're not already broken up with him, girl. Oh, my God. Corre por tu vida.
Corre, huele, acelera. Hijo de su madre, run. No.
This is the problem with a dialogue with those groups is that they resort to insults and like a very like threatening pushing against everything you have to say, that the second you open a conversation with them, they close the possibilities of a real dialogue. And I, when somebody's telling you that you have been indoctrinated into, you know, like the radical left, just with that, he has completely closed the gap and the opportunity to establish a decent human, rational fucking dialogue with you. Girl, run for your life.
I know. And you know, like, I've said it candidly on this show, joking around about Pizzagate and all this shit and how, like, I follow these sometimes online because I think it's funny. And I also joke, like, that some of it is true. But in the sense of, like, all these conspiracies come from a kernel of truth, but they are definitely distracting us from like the reality of the root of that conspiracy. You know right. what I mean? It's like everything links back to a woman, but always, right? Like it's not men doing the sex trafficking. It's always the women doing the dirty work for the men. And then the women are the ones that get blamed for everything, right? Mm. Shout out to Hillary and Ghislaine out there. But Allison Mack, looking at you, girl. But like it's all these women that get coerced into doing these evil things with men. I mean, I'm not saying they're not at fault either, you know, but like It's just think of the term Karen, you know, like it didn't trend as much as like the categorization of like a Chad, you know what I mean?
Like a Bob. Like,
yeah, like Karens are the ones that are being vilified and white men are just walking around like whatever. But we all know that white men are way more dangerous, you know? And so anyway, tying that to conspiracy theory shit, it's like if I don't know what I couldn't live with a person like that. Like, I have more questions. Like, do you share a space with this person? I would have kicked his ass to the curb a long time ago or left. I don't know. Could you do that? Could you do it? Imagine if your partner just started talking about QAnon like it was fact. Mm-hmm. What would you do?
I don't have tolerance for intolerance, and that includes alt-right, that includes like super religious, like I respect, but only to when you cross the line to intolerance and you justify it with whatever. That's when I'm like, I couldn't do it. So I know it will be completely difficult because I don't know the nature of your relationship. But I don't know. Like, if you, again, we've said this before because we got a lot of these questions about do we reason with family, about white supremacy and stuff. And it's kind of like a decision that you have to make. Is this person worth it? You know, like, is this a father for your kids? Like, I don't know. We don't know the details of it. But it seems to me that if you are in your 20s and you have your whole entire life ahead, this person ain't worth shit, man. Like, it ain't worth anything. So I think, correle, güey. That's all I can say. Correle.
Yeah. Yes, honey. Yes, honey. Yes. Just run. Please save yourself.
Pero sí es difícil. So, like, you know, it is, I don't know. Anyway, next question. Next question.
Okay, here we go. Oh, I think this is yours.
It's my turn. This is from La Madrina Luis, speaking of.
Oh, yeah.
You were just talking about her. This is called Skincare Tips. Hola, comadres. I watched the YouTube video of the conversation that Javi had with Planeta G. With all the pandemic... With all the pandemic stress, my skin is suffering. And Fabi looks good in the video. So my question is, what's your skincare routine, Fabi? Share the tips, chica. Thank you both. Thank you to both of you for your art, your scholarship, and your activism. Abrazos, Luis. Luis, comadre, muchísimas gracias.
Wow. Thank you so much. That's so sweet of you to acknowledge thy hard work and dedication, okay? My skincare tips. I just wash my face. There's the tip. Wash your face, people.
What?
Let's get real. I actually try to use as minimal. I'm getting on this like no waste wagon, you know, trying not to waste as much when it comes to buying products that have a lot of containers, and so I try to buy stuff in bulk now, or like buy one product that does everything kind of thing, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I do use coconut oil for a lot of things, and so I do use that as a body moisturizer, but. I found out that you're not supposed to use it on your face because it's like too thick and it clogs your pores. So I use coconut oil for my body. And then for my face, I just make sure I wash it every day. Sometimes I spray some toner on my face to really get in there, if you know what I mean. And then you just like put a nice non-scented lotion on your face. If you go outside, put on some sunscreen every day. And then make sure you drink plenty of water. If your pee is yellow, drink more water, okay? That's the secret. Pee clear, and your life will be changed forever.
Silver showers, baby. Silver showers.
Oh, yes, honey. Platinum for me, please. Garagaras. Okay, anyway, so... what's your skincare routine?
Híjole, yo soy tan malo para esas cosas y soy tan bruto, güey, that okay. I don't, you know this, I don't have one. I'm like, I should take care because, you know, like...
You're living in the desert, honey. What are you doing?
Como han pasado los años y se nota. So,
Yeah, anything you do special?
Nope. Just wash my face at night. That's it. Y a veces eso se me olvida, güey. En la mañana. Pero, you know, like, I remember having this conversation when I was in my early 20s with one of my bosses in one of my jobs. And somebody asked him, because he was in, like, his 50s, you know? Like, his skin looked good. And somebody asked him, he goes, I never use soap on my face, ever. Like, I'm always, like, rinsing with water, but I never use soap, ever. That was his secret. So, like, I try not to wash my face with soap too often.
What do you wash it with?
Just, like, water, always with water. But, like, obviously, like, sometimes I'm like, okay, girl, it's time to use some soap. But, no sé, se me quedó muy grabado eso. Se me quedó muy grabado eso.
Girl, you gotta exfoliate.
No, I never do none of that
shit. Okay, I wanted to talk to you about this because this actually really happened to me, which I'm shocked, but I'm not shocked at the same time. Because speaking of conspiracy theories, so on TikTok, there's a lot of like little clips on TikTok that I get when I like go into conspiracy theory TikTok. Uh-huh. And there was this TikTok floating around a while ago warning people about certain shampoos like Suave and Tresemme, like those brands, because they use this ingredient called DMDM hydantoin, I think, HYD. Anyway, whatever. DMDM is related to formaldehyde, and when it mixes with water, it actually makes you lose your hair. Like if you use that shampoo every day.
Oh yeah.
And guess what kind of shampoo I've been using for like the last 2 years?
Suave.
Tresemme, ooh la la. Because one of my friends, her mom shops at Sam's Club. And she just buys shampoo in bulk. And I'm like, oh, whatever. So sometimes people just give me stuff. So I use this giant thing of Tresemme for the longest time. And so I stopped using the Tresemme like 2 months ago or whenever I first saw the thing on TikTok. And my hair is thicker now.
I'm going to do it. Bitch, because a mí se me está cayendo a montones. Wey.
Yeah, make sure your shampoo doesn't have that ingredient in it.
Hijo de su madre.
It's real. It actually is real. It's not a conspiracy. And there's actually a huge class action lawsuit right now.
Hijo
so
su
get in on it because I was definitely using that and it's true.
Speaking of white supremacy, what is it with French products and fucking French names? Like is French the standard for beauty, like Vidal Sassoon and Tresemme?
Oh yeah. Bullshit. Even today when I was watching the tour of the Capitol, they're like, yes, this is a recreation of this section of Versailles. Like they're all proud of it.
You know, like, pendejos.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Anyway, yes, and for all you people out there, please support your POC beauty influencers, beauty product people, because these whites are just, not only are we giving them too much money, but they're also killing us with their fucking products. So, you know.
And there's plenty of products for Christmas. I try to give my family, my mom and my sister, like, skincare routines from Latinx organic products. And yes, like they're an extra buck and I know it's a privilege and not anybody afford it, but when it comes to shit that you put on you, like it's worth, you know, like not only supporting local, supporting Latinx, supporting POC, but also doing something organic, which is good for you and the environment. So,
and I know that your abuelita always loves that lotion gift basket that you get from La Marshalls, okay? Like, we get it. You go
La
over
Jafra.
To the you go over to La Rose or to La TJ Maxx and you get your bundles of lotions and potions for the abuelitas and bars of soap, and they love it. And sometimes that's the right gift, but right now we gotta support our people.
Right.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Oh my God, that made me miss going to those stores, just saying that. I haven't been shopping in so long. I'm gonna start crying.
No, girl, no, don't go to the dark side. Just read the next letter.
Okay. Oh, speaking of, I live right, oh my God, I'm back. I'm coming back. I'm coming back. Sorry, my brain left my body again. It's back. It's back. So I live, well, I live in Las Vegas, and there's shopping centers like everywhere, but like the next block from my house is a shopping center, and it has like a, it's a weird shopping center. It has like a old diner. It has like a Smart Bank. And Final, which is like a bulk, like restaurant supply store kind of place.
As my mom calls it, vamos a la fina.
La fina, Smart and Final, la más fina, okay? And then in that same shopping center, they just put in a bootleg 99 cent store. And I was like, there was nobody in there last night when I went to go get water. And I'm like, I'm going to go in there. I haven't been shopping in so long. And girl, I had the time of my life. There's nothing better than a bootleg 99. This one was called like Dollar Center 99 cent only market. You know, like, you know how they're just like generic names. Uh-huh. I went in there. Girl, I had the time of my life. I bought I bought chips. They had chips from Mexico. So you know those stores that will have like fritos or like Doritos, but like the Mexican version of everything?
Simon.
And oh, and you know that corn from Mexico, the recipes, those chips just hit different, honey. And I bought every kind. I bought fritos, Doritos, and they also had the chicharrones, the fake chicharrones, you know, the Sabritas brand.
Oh, esos me gustan mucho con Valentina, güey.
Yeah, and then compré una colcha. And then I also bought a hammer. And what else did I get? And some nails and stuff. So, you know, it was a nice little shopping day. And I'm just really happy that I got to eat my Mexican-flavored chips. And my favorite thing about Mexican products now is they have warning. Do you know that they have warning labels on the bags now?
Pues no, pero en los cigarros tienen like pictures of fetuses and shit like that. So
okay, yeah. So I'm holding fritos, chili, y limón, okay? Chile y limón. That's the thing. And in big black bold in octagons in the shape of a stop sign, it says exceso calorías. Exceso grasa. Saturadas. Exceso sodio.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. On everything, bitch. We're going to die.
That's so
I love it. I love it. Okay. Next one is from Laura, the Mexican avatar. Here we go. This is for Babalito. Laura says, I hope this email finds you well, healthy, and feeling good. I have two anime-ish related questions for you. One, I know you like The Last Airbender. I do too, but I was wondering, how do you feel about Legend of Korra? I just saw the trailer for Onyx Equinox, which seems like Avatar, but instead of Pan-Asian mythology, it draws from Mexican mythology. I'm curious on your take. Okay, phew. I was nervous writing. Thank you for reading my message. Longtime listener, first time writer, Laura.
Hi, Laura. Obsessed with Avatar. I've seen it maybe 4 times, the whole entire thing. It's almost like a personal thing. Like, I watch it when I'm alone. Like, when I go to Mexico, that's what I do. I just, like, before I go to bed, I watch Avatar. Legend of Korra is good. People give a lot of shade to that. It is not as flawless as Avatar, but I really like Legend of Korra, especially towards the end. She's an annoying character, but that comes through, and sometimes that's a good character development. And that's what I like about those two series, that they're for kids, but the nuanced character development, it's so, so, so specific that from episode 1 to the last episode, 2-3 seasons or whatever, you really get a sense of who these people are. And we're fucking talking about anime. We're talking about cartoons. So that's what I also appreciate that of Korra, because we go from this brat, privileged person that comes from a lineage of avatars that doesn't care and understands and appreciates the weight and the responsibility she has to, like, a full-on lesbian, beautiful woman, you know? And that's something beautiful to see. And, of course, they were not as open about it, but one of the last scenes give you a hint. And that's something amazing. So I think people should give a chance to Legend of Korra. I've actually watched 3 episodes of Onyx Equinox. But mira, it was produced and created by Whitenix Power, as I call it. Latinx people. Whitenix. No me gustó, güey. I think, yes, it is pre-Columbian. They go from cities in Yucatan and central Mexico, like if they just, you know, they were like vecinos or whatever. The references, you know, like are pan pre-Columbian. They span different periods of time, and I don't know, I don't get the nuance that I get from things like Avatar. One of the beautiful things about anime that I absolutely love is that all the characters presented in this kids programs are really difficult characters. There's no good or bad, you know, like they tell you somebody's bad for all these reasons and somebody's good for all these reasons, but there's no black and white like that. And that's something that I first saw in The Last Airbender, and that's why I decided to go more into anime. And that's something that I do not get. The writing in Onyx Equinox, it's terrible. The animation is just half decent. But at least we getting producers that are paying attention to other epistemologies within the Americas. Like, I don't want to see another, when it comes to like movies, I don't want to see another movie about Greek gods or cartoons about Greek legends or the Romans, or, you know, like the fact that we have a slew of indigenous groups that have incredible epistemologies and ways of understanding the world should be enough material for the rest of fucking eternity to create anime, novelas, y películas. So as one of the first attempts that I've seen of something like this, I appreciate it, but I don't know if I will fully recommend. And that's the whole thing that I have to say. Do you watch any anime or anything like that?
I don't. I do not.
Beautiful.
I'm on season 27 of Survivor. and actually I had a dream like 2 nights ago that this pandemic, this quarantine, actually the lift of it, switch back to normalcy lies on my shoulders. And since I started watching Survivor season 1 episode 1 the first week of the pandemic and of the lockdown, I feel like things are not going to get back to normal until I finish all 40 seasons of Survivor. So I'm trying really hard to watch more than one episode a day so that hopefully in a couple months we can all travel again. And that's the reality that I'm living in. So I can't really make fun of you for watching cartoons.
Bitch, speaking of cartoons.
I'm going crazy. Okay. Well,
I'm obsessed. I'm obsessed, and I guess this could be one of the recommendations, but I do have music recommendations. I'm obsessed with Attack on Titans. If you don't know what it is, it's all right.
Tell me about it. Tell me about it.
It is one of them. Like, I have to watch it and rewatch it, because it's so fucking complicated. And it's about colonization, the macrocosm, and the world collapsing, and it's just like, it's so terrible. But they start from the microcosm. They start like with a tiny little town. So it is just now in the last season that you get the full-on picture of what's happening. It's so brilliant that in the past, I'm going to say 3 days, I've been doing nothing but watching reaction videos to one scene. One scene in the last season. People are going nuts. So if you haven't, and if you want, like, and it's not like, oh, cartoons, pretty or whatever. Like, it's fucking heavy, you know? And it's traumatic, and there's a lot, but it's so well put together. It is the best. And I've seen, by now, I've seen maybe 20, 30 different anime at this point, right? There's nothing like Attack on Titans. If you want to get into something, like, watch this shit. It's so, so good. That's all I'm going to say, because I just have to mention it because I'm obsessed with that show right now. It's so good.
All right. Well, you heard it here first. Watch the show. Hashtag not sponsored.
Why don't we take one last break and come back with a couple of recommendations? We did good. We went 1, 2, 3, 4 letters. Look at that. We're getting better at this.
We grow up so fast.
Qué rápido, qué triste. Okay.
¿Cómo se pasa? Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to go to the...
Oh, dale, dale, dale.
Okay.
OMG, Babelito. Let's continue the gratitude, okay? We're so grateful for all of our comadres, all of our Patreon familia. I'm just, as the white people say, over the moon.
Yes, and it's been an overwhelming response, and thank you everybody that's been supported. And we're going to continue with our comadres, and we're going to start with Edelweiss, or Edelweiss C. Shout out to you.
Jesse R, thank you.
Ana C. P, muchas gracias.
Marimar M.
Holly S.
KCP.
Maria PG, shout out to you.
Laura E.
Chris.
Gilberto A.
Alicia K, we love you, girl. Thank you.
Jessica M, gracias.
Alberto G, shout out.
Sylvia F.
Sarah R.
Antonio V.
Catherine H.
Shannon M.
Alba.
Karina R.
Vanessa L.
Rosario CS.
Raquel S. V.
Susan A.
Tyler.
Jeanette H.
Leah TH, shout out.
Aisberry B.
Janet P.
German M.
Gris R, shout out.
Josue R.
Magali E. Muchas gracias.
Dan the Man.
Cynthia J.
Jessica V.
Nick Boo, shout out to you.
Laura Rod. I just had a seizure. Laura Dora N.
Lydia M, shout out.
Camille S.
Chelsea MH, shout out.
Jeanette R.
Barry, that's Barry from Podcasting Color. Shout out to you. Thank you.
Alejandra N.
Angela A.
Dulce CP.
Michael is lit.
Gabriela O.
Kikis.
Robin M.
Tanya MS.
Tanya, hello, sorry. Marisol.
Grecia R, shout out.
David L.
Yesi D.
Come on, Yeti. All right. Osiris O.
Chris E. V, shout out to you. Muchas, muchas gracias.
Yes, Anita R.
Daniela S, shout out.
Daniel S. That's our friend from Grizzly Kiki.
That's right, Daniel.
Rasi C, thank you so much.
And
last but not least,
Rosaura, muchísimas, muchísimas gracias for all your support.
Yes, and as always, you can go to latinoswholunch.com/donate to join the Patreon familia. Okay. And we're back again.
Okay.
All right. What's your recommendation, brother?
So I have an exciting music recommendation. I don't know if if you heard of the moniker /band/DJ called Maria y José. We actually played some of their music in the podcast way in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they've come out with anything since 2013. And this is Maria y José. It's one of the best kept secrets of Mexican underground scene. And this is part of the many aliases of this guy, Antonio Jimenez. And he has different things. His other alias is Tony Gallardo, La Fiebre X. But this is probably one of his most, if not, to me, his most exciting project. This is part of a movement of music from Mexico or even from parts of Latin America called Ruidosón. And it's kind of like a genre of Mexican experimental electronic music that it started like becoming more and more popular in the early 2010s. There are a lot of bedroom producers, as they call it. Again, it's Ruido Son. But I really do think they are the leaders of that genre. And they just came out with a new album, I think, in the last couple of days. Mala Hierba is the name of the album by María José. I don't even know how, I mean, yes, Ruido Son could be a genre, but it's like tribal, but it's also electronic, much more electronic, but there's a lot of influences. It's beautifully messy. I don't know, just listen to it, and it's like if you are, it's good to hear this kind of music. And I was talking with Richard from Songmes about it, that there were a lot of like reckoning albums, like, oh no, I'm privileged, oh no, I'm white, oh, I'm stuck, you know, like, and the few like very happy, amazing albums that came out really were welcome in 2020. And this continues that trend, that there's people that wanted to do something different, that it wasn't necessarily a reckoning album. So again, María y José, they have been around for a long time, but they don't release stuff so often. So this is a beautiful, beautiful surprise. Mala Hierba, no se lo pierdan. How about you, Fabi? What's your recommendation?
Well, my recommendation is very similar. It's a band called Mary Joseph and All the Latter-day Saints. No.
Y todos los santos.
Amen. Jesus Christ and the Latter-day Saints. No, no, that's a good recommendation. Well, as you know, I've just been spiraling the last year, so I'm on TikTok, and you know, TikTok is so toxic, but it's also amazing. And the nice thing about TikTok is they actually do pay the people on there, and there's a lot of people that could use your support. So it's a call to action for all of you that are listening that are on TikTok to make sure you support the POCs on there, because, girl, it's a hella racist app, just like every fucking app, okay? And if you don't give the black influencers, the POC influencers, the likes, the reshares, the follows, they just get lost in the mix, and then their shit just gets lifted by some, you know, cute little white twink, and then it gets 100,000 more, you know, likes or views than the originator, right?
So in an album deal.
I know. Anyway, speaking of, I really do love following, like, there's a lot of great artists on TikTok, like Lizzo's TikTok is great. Also, Lil Nas X has a TikTok. Kali Uchis is on TikTok. She's pretty funny on there.
By the way, her new album came out, and yeah, it was great, and no pasó nada.
It was going to be one of my albums, but I'm like, oh, I already have two white Dinas on my list. And and I always recommend Kali Uchis, so I gave it a break, but she was still, I mean, she's amazing. The album is great. And it was more like ethereal than normal, you know?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like, it was kind of along the same lines as the vibe that we gave for the last episode, right?
Right, right. No, it was a good album, and it had really good reviews, even probably better than the last album. But I don't know, it didn't go anywhere. It didn't seem to go anywhere. So shout out to Kali, which is amazing music.
Yes. I'm going to also... so yes, follow Kali Uchis on TikTok. But I also have been loving like a lot of crafty people on there, and I found this one woman, and her handle is @worst.western420, and basically she's just gets high in her sewing room and just like sews, makes really cool clothes, shows you how to sew. You can actually order commission stuff from her. It's like she's trying to make it her full-time job. So support the girls. And then also, there's this Latina girl on there. I'm not sure. I feel like she's native. She might be also native. Her name is @Barlitas, B-A-R-L-A, bar, and then Litas, L-I-T-A-S.
Come on, Litas.
I think she's a teenager, but just she's very creative in the way that she posts her TikToks. And so I like to find those weird artsy kids on TikTok that do like narrative kind of things. Mm-hmm. And man, this generation of kids, they're woke as hell. It's amazing. It's amazing. But anyway, shout out to all the TikTokers out there, you know, getting their shit stolen from them. We see you. And some of us try to make the effort to actually support the originators of the culture. Okay.
Amen.
All right. Anything else, Babs?
Eso es todo por hoy.
All right. As always, you can visit us at latinoswholunch.com. Send your emails to asklwlpod@gmail.com. Oh, our coloring books are still available. We're restocked over at the Writer's Block. So get your coloring books before they're gone. LatinosLunch.com/coloring book. Also, if you have a moment, please rate us 5 stars.
5 estrellas solamente.
Because the more reviews we have, the more visible we are. And
visibility leads to representation, and representation matters.
Today's episode was produced by Justin Favela and Emmanuel Ortega, with production assistance from Maite Sosa. The music you're listening to right now is by the band Balloon. I'm Favi Fav.
And I'm Babelita.
Bye.
Ciao, ciao, ciao.